Nice shot.
Let's see what you can do now.
Let's go, man.
Don't smile, kid.
How much you want?
All day.
Oh, gotta stay down on that.
I got that.
You got what? That's a youngster for you. Just when you thought it was safe to come outside.
Bet you won't score again.
I won't score again? How you like that rainbow? We're not done. Excuse me.
Had enough?
Well, look here, sucker. You reach, I teach.
We'll see.
Lesson just started.
Come on.
That's ugly.
Could have dunked.
You should have dunked.
Hey, Mike.
What? Who's got next? Get your young ass out there.
And you are tuning in to Why Not Sports with the homie D Murph.
So why not? Why not?
Why Not Sports? It impacts your everyday life. Why Not Sports? It's more than on and off the court. Why Not Sports? Hey. Why Not Sports? Yeah. Why Not Sports? It impacts your everyday life. Why Not Sports? It's more than on and off the court. Why Not Sports? Hey. Why Not Sports? D-Murph. You a fool for this one. Yeah.
World, what's going on? Yup, yup. They're like, Murph, you got a doctor in the building? Yes. I'll explain shortly, but we have entrepreneur, speaker, author, someone that on a Globetrotters. Yes, Harlem Globetrotters, national team, collegiate athlete. Welcome to Why Not Sports, where we talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of sports and how it impacts your everyday life. World, help me welcome Dr. Kevin Davis to Why Not.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. We're finally here, man. I'm excited. I've been hearing a lot about your podcast, so it's a privilege to be here.
Oh, man. Humble, man. Humble. And the world listening to the intro was like, wait a minute. Was that the GOAT? Yes. That was the GOAT. Yours, well, not yours, but the GOAT on this platform with this gentleman as it was an extra, his mirror version of himself. Overall, Dr. Kevin Davis with the man himself on that dope commercial and skit that you heard earlier in the show. But anyway, we'll get to that, you know, a little bit later, man. But brother, again, thank you. I know you got a lot of things going on, but we're gonna go right into it, man.
Let's do it.
Where did your love from basketball come from, and how did it start?
Man, so I'm originally from Panama City, Panama in Central America. So you may notice an accent because I'm still fluent in Spanish. Spanish is my first language. I actually had to learn to speak English. But I started back then. I lost my mother at a very young age, at the age of 3. I was 3 years old. My mother, she took her own life. And obviously that impacted me tremendously. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I tie that into where did I get my love for basketball, I grew up playing every sport for fun, but basketball was the one sport that I could play by myself.
Okay.
I didn't need anybody else to join me, right? If you play baseball, you really can't play by yourself. Soccer, can't play by yourself. You know, all these other sports that I played. Now, basketball was kind of my outlet to get away from the world. And I wanted to play so often that even my friends was like, man, I had enough, man. Like, yo. So I would be like, okay, cool. I'm just going to keep playing. And I played it so much that when I was young, every New Year's Eve, whenever we'll say, you know, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year's, you know, I'll hug, kiss, all that. And then I will grab my basketball and I'll run to the basketball court. And then I will be yelling out loud, you know, I'm the only one in the world working on my layup right now. The only one in the world shooting a free throw. Everybody else is celebrating. I'm the only one working on my 3-point jump shot.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the type of love and passion that I had for basketball. I just fell in love with it back then.
Good, man. That's good. And you also said something that was key. And I'm going to tell on myself. I didn't play multiple sports. Mm-hmm. I knew when I saw that thing called Spalding Wilson, I said, this is it for me.
There you go.
You to be able to balance it all out and realize, you know what? Ultimately, this is what I want to do, man. Salute to you.
Thank you.
Because, you know, our age bracket, guys was either forced or they just gave up on their dreams for other various outside distractions. You know?
Right.
Man, brother, for real. All right, so now we doing our thing. It's the new year workout. You growing. You're over 6 feet. You're doing your thing. Now we decide on a college and university. How was that process for you?
So I moved to Los Angeles when I was 13 years old. Then eventually I graduated from Artesia High School. Artesia is known for Charles and Ed O'Bannon, Jason Capono, and the latest is James Harden. So we came through there. Then I went to UCLA for 2 years, but I had goals past college. And at UCLA, I was riding the pine, man. So I said, man, I can't make any money after college if I'm here on the bench. So I decided to leave. I went to Azusa Pacific, but I wasn't highly recruited out of high school because I think the reason why is because I blossomed late. Mm-hmm. But then eventually it landed me to some good places. And I think everything that happened was for a good reason. I didn't want to leave UCLA. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I got there in 96. They had won the championship in 95. So, I mean, everything about it. I loved the weather. It was in my hometown of LA. You know, everything about it, right? But I had to make an adult decision as a kid to, like, what's more important, these next few years or the rest of your life?
Yeah.
So that's when I decided to leave, and it worked out for me.
Good, man. That's all, again, making adult decisions as a kid.
Yeah.
As you know, it's not that many. I keep saying it's not that many that makes a decision and it becomes successful. As you know, there's only, 1% that actually get scholarships.
Yeah.
Probably a lower percentage that get the scholarships and finish school.
Right.
And then that goes to even a lower percentage as a professional athlete. You was on the national team for Panama.
Yes.
And becoming a Harlem Globetrotter. Come on, man. I'm locked in. Continue.
Yeah, man. So, I played in different professional leagues throughout the world. I played in Australia, I played in Turkey, I played in Iceland. I mean, we're in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
But there's two uniforms that I wore that have been the best for me. And one of them was being the captain for 10 years of the Harlem Globetrotters. You know, there's rich history behind that, obviously. And then the other one was, which is the number one jersey, and it was the less money that I ever got paid to play basketball, but it was playing for the Panamanian national team.
Come on.
The joy of knowing that you're representing your country. There's no greater feeling for me, I think, as an athlete, obviously, but just as a human being, right? Just to have those, that name across your chest. So that was a highlight. And especially because I left Panama again. I was around 13 years old. And I remember having a conversation with my dad. He said, man, wouldn't it be cool if you one day go back and play for the national team? And I'm 13. I'm like, yeah, it would be cool. But I'm nowhere thinking that I'm anywhere where I could accomplish that. Right. But eventually I was able to accomplish that. And I'm so happy that I did, because greatest feeling ever.
Yes sir. And again, very successful for the national team. And let's, Harlem Globetrotters, so was the tryout intense? Was it an invitation only?
Yeah,
give us a somewhat of a breakdown on the introduction. Sure. Of becoming a Harlem Globetrotter.
Yeah, man. So I had just came from playing somewhere overseas.
Okay.
And it was the summertime. I'm in Los Angeles. Now, wherever it was that I played that summer, I wasn't making that much money. I was making enough money to live. But once I got back to LA, it was like, man, you know, I need some money.
Yeah.
So I was playing. I've always played with and against NBA players. You know,
right.
Baron Davis was my roommate for a little bit at UCLA. I've played with Magic Johnson for summers. I've played with KG, Reggie Miller. I mean, name them. You name it. Even Kobe when he first. I put on my Facebook recently a when I was playing with Kobe. But so this summer, I was on a team with Paul Pierce. We were playing in different leagues, a very popular league at the time called the Real Run. And I always knew that Paul would attract a lot of people to come see him play. Obviously, he was still playing with the Boston team, the Boston Celtics. But in my mind, I was saying, you know, everybody's coming to see him, which I love. A lot of people, some people are going to know my name, but a lot of people are not going to know my name.
Right.
Cool. But when they leave here, they're going to know my name. So although I was literally starving, I was eating peanut butter and jelly and for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I used to buy me a gallon of Kool-Aid, and that was my meal. Right. But I was saying, I'm not going to get me a regular job because my job is basketball. And now I'm going to find me a gig. So I'm going to work out. I'm going to play and I'm going to get me a gig. And there was a mayor of a city called West Covina. He gave me 2 weeks stay at a Holiday Inn because he knew my situation. So he gave me 2 weeks stay. I had just bought me a $1,500 car, a Cutlass Supreme.
Come on.
Right? And I was just going to every tournament, every workout that I could be in, eating peanut butter and jelly. Now, I had 3 days to move out of that hotel or else I was going to be living out of my car.
Yeah.
And the Harlem Globetrotters called me 3 days prior to me having to move out because they saw me playing in this league with Paul Pierce, and they called me and some other teams called me, but that was the one that I felt the most security with.
And I
decided to go with them. They offered me a six-digit contract at the time, and that's going from literally zero to six digits, man. It was a lot of joy, but the key there was that I wasn't worried about me getting a gig, me finding my next meal. I wasn't worried about that. The only thing, because in my mind, there was nothing that was going to stop me from getting a basketball job.
For sure.
The only thing that I was concerned about is making sure that I was ready for when it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a message there for those who are trying to accomplish whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, right? It is sometimes it's none of your business how it's going to happen.
Amen.
It's business to be prepared for when it happens. And that's what I learned through that entire process. I didn't know that's what I was doing, but that's what I ended. That's what I was doing.
And a lot of times we don't until later where we like, oh, so now you can, you know, spread your word, spread your message as a speaker.
Absolutely.
Author. You know, so before we get to that, it's two more things. I want to talk about the Harlem Globetrotter experience.
Yeah.
Traveling across the world where you're about not only the love for the game, but entertainment for a lot of people.
Yeah.
How was that for you? Was it a lot of joy? Was it a lot of excitement? Just dive in a little deeper, brother, if you don't mind.
Man, it was a fantastic experience. Now, I didn't know, the only thing I knew about the Globetrotters before I joined them was different clips that I had seen. Mm-hmm. I had never really seen an entire game. First time I saw a game, I was actually part of the game. Okay. So it kind of blew my mind. And what I loved the most was definitely the fact that we had so many fans that don't even care about sports. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care about basketball. They just enjoyed the positive in family entertainment that we were giving them. Yeah. The highlight plays, you know, these athletes are tremendous in what they can do, right? And I was able, with the Globetrotters, I was able to travel to 80-something countries. I know exactly how many countries I've traveled to in my entire lifespan, which is 102.
Wow.
And, a lot of them are through the Globetrotters. Others are also through basketball and then just vacation or through speaking. Because as you mentioned, I'm a speaker.
Yes, sir.
So it was just it's just so good to be a part of something positive. Now, there's a lot. It was taxing. It was challenging.
Yeah.
Because I was traveling, right? 9, maybe 8 to 9 months out of the year, I'm away. And then I had a daughter, my oldest daughter. She was in the stomach when I started with the Globetrotters. So I didn't get a chance to actually have a Christmas with her on actual Christmas Day until I retired when she was about to be 10 years old. So think about it. Yeah, there's great things, but you also sacrifice.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Imagine when you're watching football on Thanksgiving or whatever that is, there's an entire team that is away from their family.
Family, yep.
They're an entire team, right? And we don't have a home game. So all of our games are away.
True. Right.
But I wouldn't change it for the world because of the impact that I had on so many people.
Good, man. And impact on a lot of people. Again, we're going to talk about speaking. We're going to talk about the book that just came out. The world's still stuck on the first part of the show with you partnering and paired up in that great commercial with Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Starstruck, like, oh, man, I know I'm one of the best. This is what I do. Come on, Doc. Let me know. How is that for you?
So, man, I tell you, this came about from that same league that I was playing with Paul Pierce.
Gotcha.
So I mentioned to you, I used to treat those games, man, I used to treat those games like it was my NBA game
set. Absolutely.
And I was out there acting a fool, playing, doing my thing. And the guy, his name is Nate Bellamy. Shout out to Nate. He was in charge of casting somebody who could do the dunks that Michael Jordan was doing back in the 90s.
Mm.
And somebody who could also had a similar frame to him back then. Now, they went to Chicago. They went to Detroit. They went to New York. They went to L.A. They could not find somebody who had both.
Hmm.
They found me at the very last minute.
Wow.
Initially, they cast, they had casted Jamal Crawford to do it. Now, if you search it, every now and then you're going to see, they're going to say, hey, that's Jamal Crawford. But
come on.
He was there the first day until I walked in, and then they asked him to, hey, man, let him step in. And the commercial took 3 days, and none of the parts that you see in the actual commercial is him. And me and him have had this conversation. Because he's been on shows saying that is him. And I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just telling you the truth.
No doubt. No doubt.
You know, there's articles out there from reputable places like ESPN and all these places where they don't even mention him. They mention me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a behind the scenes.
Wasn't your voice on that too, Doc?
You can hear my voice. Right. Because I have a very raspy.
I'm saying it's true. I played it like a trillion times.
Okay. Yes, you can hear my voice saying, come on, man, or something, right?
Yeah.
Because they told, you know, I have funny stories about that commercial in 3 days. And I filmed several others with him. That's just the one that is the most recognizable. Some people call it Gatorade's commercial, best commercial of all time. I think it's a great, man, to see Michael Jordan playing against himself. It's just fantastic. But I'll tell you a quick story, man. When I walked in, I'm like, man, I've never seen Michael Jordan in my life. And the way that I meet him is about to play one-on-one against him. So the director goes and he said, hey, man, I want y'all to play one-on-one, but I want y'all to play for real. Nobody told me I was going to do this beforehand.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, you want me to play for real? And he was still an active NBA player at the time because he was playing for the Wizards. Okay. And I'm like, man. And then the director walks away and then he comes back. Oh, wait. By the way, I want y'all to talk trash to each other. And I'm like, what the heck can I possibly
talk for
to Michael Jordan? But then tell your story what happened. So I'm very timid, man. I'm scared as I don't know what, man. I'm afraid. I'm not even playing like I usually play because I'm playing Jordan. But he goes by me. He dunks it in my face.
Mm.
Then I look around, man, cameraman, producer, director. Everybody is laughing like, whoa, man. Everybody's just going crazy. Then he walks up to me And he whispers in my ear, yeah, you didn't think I still had it, huh, young fella? He said that to me. I said, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we doing now. So from that point, I didn't see him as Michael Jordan anymore. I just saw him as another competitor.
There you go.
And I counted it. You know, I was young. I could jump out this gym. That's why they picked me, right? So I counted it, man. Three plays later, do a crossover, boom, boom, go right, jump as high as I can possibly jump, man. I dunked it on him. I dunked it so hard, the ball went through the net and hit him in the face. Like right here, like hit him like right here on the, right here. Boom. And I'm hyped, like, right? Then I look around, man. I'm expecting everybody else to be laughing and joking and high-fiving like they were doing. And I look around, man, it's dead silence. And I'm like, oh, man, they're about to kick me off this
crowd.
Oh, man, that's it. And then Jordan walks up to me, and then he had his hand right here. He was like, man, hey, yo, young fella, come here, man. And said, man, don't you forget, this is only a commercial. And I'm like, I was thinking, man, you didn't say that when you did it.
Right.
But it was cool. A lot of fun. I got a chance to ask him some silly questions that I always wanted to know, like, what's your favorite shoe? Why did you do that move against the Lakers? You know, because we had a lot of downtime where we was just chopping it up, right?
Good, man.
But it was a heck of an experience. Loved every piece of it.
That's good, man. That's again, I'm excited for you. Still, like, you know, it was yesterday. Like I said, I played that commercial so many times, man. It kind of saw the moves, the voiceover. I heard the voice.
Yeah,
I heard it. I said, that's Doc voice, man. Yeah. Get that credit.
Yeah, and I also was the one, the North Carolina one, that walked up.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Look, even the list is going back. Yeah, this is what we do at Why Not Sports. anyway, almost 8 years, y'all. Y'all know how we do it. Just a few more things, man. I know time is blazing through.
Because we good, man. We good.
Now, we have a very successful basketball career. Like you said, man, hey, when you was younger, I know basketball, going to these different, you know, camps and events and summer leagues and tournaments. Like, I'm going to make a name for myself as an athlete.
Yeah.
When was it that time for you to be like, you know what? Physically, I'm not able to do what I did. I'm gonna do speaking. I know a lot of us don't speak because we don't know or have the repetition to become solid speakers. What was that for you to be like, you know what, man, maybe I do, or I can't create my own lane as a speaker?
Yeah, man. So when it was time for me to retire from the Globetrotters, you know, I could have played a extra maybe 5 years, especially as the position that I had.
Gotcha.
But it was just got a little bit too taxing. My daughter was getting older, and I didn't want to miss out on more than I missed out on.
Absolutely.
So I just made that decision to walk away. It's typically, unless you're making multi-$1 million, it's a hard transition financially at times, but definitely no matter who you are, it's hard transition emotionally. Because if you think about it, if you made it to that level, your whole life to that point has been dedicated to the sport.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden that is over.
Yeah.
There's no more sport. So that was rough. But I said, you know, I have a strong message of things that I've been able to overcome. And I want to share it with the world because I think they can benefit from it.
Yes, sir.
And I decided to become a motivational speaker. One of the first things that I did is I wrote my autobiography called I Never Stopped Smiling. And I talked about everything, man, from losing my mother to all the struggles to making it to where I made it at that point. And I was just pouring my heart out, and surprised me. I won the Reader's Favorite Gold Medal Award. That is it's a world award with thousands of other authors. And I won the gold medal in the category of biographies.
Congratulations as well.
Thank you, man. That just blew my mind. Yeah. After that, I said, man, I'm never writing another book ever again because
that's what you thought.
It was so challenging, man. It was so challenging. But then I wanted to show people that I knew a little bit about leadership. So I decided to write some leadership books to help with my speaking. My main topics are leadership, mindset, and peak performance. So I wanted to write something to support that. Mm-hmm. And I've written some leadership books when it comes to that. And then the latest one you mentioned.
From Athlete to Superstar Speaker.
Yeah, so we help former athletes in my coaching company called the Daily Speakers Academy. Sure. We help former athletes to learn how to leverage their athletic experiences into paid speaking engagement. You see, because we played for so long, and you don't have to be a professional, but you put in a work back in them days, and you benefited from that work at that time. Mm-hmm. But you can still benefit from that work that you did then today, right? So that's what we help other athletes do. That's what I do, right? How many times have I told the Michael Jordan stories in my engagement? People want to hear that, right? How many times I've told that I didn't have nothing to eat for a while and all these different stories. How many talk about different countries that I've been to?
102.
Right? So it was all because of these sports experiences that we have. Now, you and other athletes that are listening, you have different experiences.
Absolutely.
And that people want to hear that story. Yeah. And also, here's a tip. Find those stories. Learn how to tell those stories in an engaging way. And learn how to pull the lessons from those stories that would resonate with the audience that you're speaking to.
Yes, sir.
And then you're going to make you some money with those stories.
There it is. So the listeners, Doc, we're going to end on that note. They're like, how can I find you? Yes, you can check the description as you listening. But at the same time, from him, like where can they find you? Where can they sign up to be, or at least get some additional information on the Academy? You got the floor.
Absolutely. You can find it at Daily. That's D-A-L-E-Y, my last name. DailySpeakersAcademy.com. But you can find me on social media too, man. It's Mr. Trotter 21, Mr. Trotter 21. Right now, I'm on a kick to really share more things on LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn, man. Dr. Kevin Daly on LinkedIn.
Daly.
Yeah, man. If you just want to a tip or two, or just want to connect to see, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Is this a good idea? Absolutely. I'm always happy to connect, and we can do it. But we also have a free Facebook group. It's called Motivational Speaking Roadmap. It's called the Motivational Speaking Roadmap for former athletes, coaches, and others. Find us there, man. That's where I give out a lot of free game, man. A lot of free game. We do a training once a week for free as well. So even if you're not ready to financially commit yourself to this industry, then you can at least get some pointers for free.
Yes, sir. Just like as you listen to Why Not Sports, wherever you listen, it is free. So thank you again, Doc, to talk about this platform. No, thank you as well for continuing the mission as, you know, Black men with families and leveraging how sports has done us justice, where now the least we can do, the very least, is to pass it on and let the people, after us, let them know, like, hey, and even for the people before us, to let them know, hey, they're not no longer here.
Yep.
This is what you can do to be successful. But man, brother, appreciate you. Continue to push the needle with the success in speaking. And when I'm in Dallas, which is soon, I ain't gonna tell you this, but this is how I do it. I'm hitting you up, Doc. I'm in town with my child because she going to some camps out there in Dallas.
Okay.
She's 6'1".
Wow.
Going into her senior year. But that's another story for another day. So you talk about your baby girl. And anyway, I can relate as a dad. 100%. Yeah. So again, thank you, brother, for what you do, man. And world, you can find me on Twitter or X and Instagram at itsdmurph. You can find the website, www.dmurphspeaks.com. Check the link out. Just kind of see what I've been up to. Why Not Sports on Instagram, why not sports_. Hey, y'all, we love y'all. Continue. It's always a message in the lesson. Even when it don't look like it's supposed to, keep just don't give up. Don't give up, and you'll trust me. But you heard Dr. Kevin say it. You will be fine. Even if it's 3 days before he might live with me, might be living in his car. He got that call
kept doing what he had to do. So, world, we out. We love y'all. And y'all already know how I close the show. Keep grinding. Keep the faith. Keep on grinding.
My goal, it is bleeding from within my soul. Keep on running.